You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Certainly is time for my chat with Andrew Little. He joined me again this week discussing the low number of rape convictions in New Zealand and the debate around the Bail Act. Here is Andrew.
Recent OIA reports have showed that there's a 35% conviction rate for allegations of rape. Is this good enough?
No, it's not. And I suspect that figure probably understates what is happening, because we know that there's a lot of sexual assault and sexual violation cases that are never even reported. Of those that are reported, it has a remarkably low conviction rate. So we have work to do, which is why one of the things the government is keen to do is to dust off the work that the Law Commission did some years ago on looking at the way trials are conducted for sexual violation cases, so that they are conducted in a way that doesn't re-victimise victims and therefore makes it easier for victims to come forward and increases the conviction rate.
And will this be a priority for this government? Can we see an overhaul of how this is done before the end of the parliament?
Certainly during this term, you should expect to see progress on it. The Law Commission did the initial work. We need to go back to the Law Commission. They've got a full slate of work at the moment. They're giving me their abortion report next month, so that frees up a bit of time. In addition to that, we've got the family violence legislation. We'll have its final passage through Parliament, hopefully, in the next session. So by mid-November, that'll be in place. And both Jean Logie, the Under-Secretary for Justice on Domestic Violence, and myself, we'll get to work on what we can do on the criminal justice aspects of sexual violence cases.
So our claims that the current adversarial system is letting victims down, do you think we could see more judge-led questioning?
I mean, that's one of the options that the Law Commission has raised in their report. I think there's a balance to strike between the traditional principles applying to defendants being presumed to be innocent until proven guilty, and the Crown having to prove the case and nearly every element of the case. Those things can remain intact, but we have to look at a way or find a way to conduct trials so that victims who have to give evidence don't feel traumatised and re-victimised as a result of doing so.
So do you think this current system, this adversarial system, is stopping people coming forward because they don't want to have to go through the sort of rigmarole of being questioned and having their past, et cetera, brought up by the defence?
Yeah, look, there are some limitations already on the kind of cross-examination that can happen. So a defence counsel cannot ask questions about a victim's sexual history. But nevertheless, a defence counsel can go into intimate and unnecessary detail of the particular allegations made, and end up re-traumatising the victim. So it's about making sure there is a balance. And I think for victims going through that experience, for whom the courtroom experience and the whole criminal justice experience is a new one anyway, it just compounds the whole thing. So it's about trying to create an environment in which they can answer questions, they can give their answers, but not be intimidated or find it a threatening environment in which to do that and kind of collapse on the stand type of thing. I think if you look at the stories of those who have left the court after having given evidence and been totally traumatised by it, you ask yourself, is this really necessary in order to secure a fair conviction? And I'm very keen, and others in the government are very keen, to explore any alternatives.
Moving on, we've seen a lot of spin recently from National saying that your government is sort of going to be putting more violent offenders on the streets by reducing the prison population. Are you worried that you're losing the kind of justice reform debate with the public?
No, not at all. We've said that this is going to take some time. As we started the conversation, we have our justice advisory group now, the one chaired by Jeff Burrows. I'm about to announce their kind of regular engagement program. They'll be talking to stakeholders as well as having public meetings. The timetable for them to put together a reform package is by May next year. So, there's plenty of work underway right now. And I think the main thing now is to keep the discussion going. It is regrettably predictable that they're going to say things like, you know, soft on crime and more offenders on the streets. Actually, if you look at the offending statistics that came out this week, actually there's been some encouraging signs. The conviction rates or the numbers of convictions as a result of offending started going down. Actually, the number of people being sentenced to prison in the last 9 months has started going down for the first time in a long time. So this, it seems to me already that as a result of the debate that's happening, there's a change in climate, a change in attitude, and we're seeing some different results. In the end, whatever we do, it's got to start from the premise that it's got to be safe for the community. So the priority is, for me, is putting in place the things that we need to help people who can be helped and want to be helped. So good addiction services, good therapeutic responses to some of the offending. Then we look at things like Parole Act, Bail Act, Sentencing Act, that means that we can provide other options for judges to consider to sentence people to rather than just locking them up in prison.
So I suppose the issue is whether or not it's true people are believing, or some people are believing the narrative, that you are supposedly going soft on crime. Are you worried that if the public mood is behind this, that possibly New Zealand First could restrict what you can reform?
No, I think, and I think as I get around, the overwhelming response I get from people is they kind of see the fact that we're now locking up 10,500 people. It's costing us over $1 billion a year just for that, and then every time we build a new prison, it's up to another $1 billion. People say, why are you spending all that money, you know? And knowing that for a lot of people, your offending is related to other things like drug addiction, like drug problems, and even those committing offences of violence, that there are people who have grown up in an environment of violence. People kind of see the logic and say, why don't we do something to stitch those people up so that when they do get released, but you know, they do their time, they get released, they're less prone to re-offending, and that's where the answer lies. I think what people are most surprised at is that when they see our re-offending rate from prison and that it's been unchanged basically 20 years, people kind of quickly draw the conclusion, okay, so what we've been doing all that time isn't really working, so what else is it that we can do? But people, you know, they want to know that if you offend, there's got to be a response, you've got to be held to account. But I think most New Zealanders would rather people who've got underlying problems would get those problems fixed rather than just being locked up in prison, released, do the same thing all over again.
National's particularly attacking possible reforms to the Bail Act. Is it likely that your government will still reform this?
Yeah, and look, there's already... You look at some of the problems with bail are logistical problems, so there isn't a house for a person to be bailed to. There aren't services in the community for someone to get access to while they're out, so they remain at risk. I think we can do better at getting a better balance when it comes to bail decisions by judges. So for those who clearly need help with various things, they get help, and it's better for them to get that help while out in the community, even if they're tied to the house, than it is in prison. And so, but you've got to make sure that those services are there. So it's about getting the sequence right, making sure the things are there, making sure the supervision is there, monitoring and what have you. In the end, it is about doing what we have to do to fix people up and get them right, as opposed to leave them floundering and prone to re-offending again.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.